I recently learned, almost too late, that May is National Meditation Month. Anybody see that? I don't know what that means exactly, but anyway, we have a couple more days, I guess, to celebrate National Meditation Month. This it might inspire some of us to ask whether what we're engaged in is meditation or not. It kind of looks like it. What we do here resembles what other Buddhists and spiritual seekers do. It's called meditation. But of course, our founder, the noble ancestor Dogen, says, actually, it's not what we're about. Or he says, it's not learning meditation. I don't remember the first time I heard that, but I imagine I was a little surprised, because I'm still a little surprised when I hear it. In Buddhism, there's a lot of discussion, as you know, of the path. Not only does Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, tell us about suffering, but he tells us about a path to depart from suffering. And one of the features of that path is what's sometimes called meditation. And of course, that's preceded, however, by a number of other factors. Seven, I guess, to be exact. Sometimes those seven are presented as preparation for meditation, but personally I don't look at them that way, at least not anymore. The Eightfold Path is actually a set of reflections, like reflections from a jewel. That describe the illumination of our path, our marga in Sanskrit. At least in, I guess, the old version that we have of the story, Buddha starts out by saying, first of all, we have to have some, a good perspective on things in order to enter this path. And again, the old way of describing this perspective is basically We should avoid what Buddha called upside-down views. And very simply, he put it that we shouldn't regard as, beautiful and worth having stuff that isn't. And of course, basically, he was talking about our, sentient beings' lives. And he pointed out that we spend a lot of energy trying to make stuff hold still and basically be nice. Okay, stuff, would you please be nice? Just let me arrange you as I please, and then would you stay there? Okay. And the assumption is that that will work. And Shakyamuni Buddha said, no, that won't work. And that won't work because stuff does not hold still. So whatever arrangement we make is already on the way out. So he said, if we continue to look at things, treat them as though they will behave, we're going to be generating a lot of trouble. So he said, since the nature of everything seems to be flux or change, it's very good to have a perspective that incorporates that, not so much as a belief, but as an actual observation. So this is an initial orientation to this path away from suffering. That maybe culminates in perfect meditation. I think, though, the more we practice, the more we notice that this path, Buddha's description, isn't actually a set of points on a line. It's actually a constantly turning circle. And eventually, perfect meditation, so-called, whatever that is, informs good perspective or right view. So number 8 touches number 1. And so forth, round and round and round. So we might say, we have one of those two right near our zendo, a very insistent mockingbird. We might say it's kind of unfair that we hear about a path. We're told about a path, and it turns out to be a circle. It's just like, wait, this is not fair. Paths start off somewhere and lead somewhere. And sometimes, of course, the story of Buddhism is told that way. For instance, you start off with a good view or perspective, and leads you all the way through to some excellent meditation, and then you leave suffering behind. I think the more we practice, the less the Buddha way looks like that. The less it looks like a bunch of cobblestones all lined up, leading you to the end of suffering. Instead, the circle is like it may have been called a blazing fire. And so, again, if the path turns out to be a blazing fire, we may not be entirely happy with that. Because that also suggests that even though it's more convenient maybe to think that the path leads from here, where I am, to the end of suffering. And if instead it seems to be a blazing circle, at the center of which we all sit, that might be a little disappointing. But I think only at first. Eventually, the liberative power of the Buddha way is rather awe-inspiring. Can you hear me okay? Thank you. Some of you know I have migraine headaches that are rather trying, and I kind of have one today, so I'm a little droopy. So forgive me. Please let me know if you can't hear. Fortunately, your Zendo is very nice and quiet, except for that bird. So. If we are wandering in the forest and the path that we're on kind of stops, or we're just walking along and very nice Sierra Club trail, you know, and then all of a sudden it's not there anymore, we might feel a little disconcerted. But if so, I think that won't last very long. Eventually, you'll notice that what our ancestor Hongzhi called the unique breeze of reality is always blowing wherever you are. Fanning the flames, if you like. And that discovery is both intimidating and exhilarating. Sometimes it's a little, I don't know about you, it's a little hard to get up in the morning. I don't know about you guys, but I'll be 63 in July, and most days it dawns on me that I'm not 30 anymore, and some stuff's more difficult, like springing out of bed in the morning. You know, it's like, nowadays I kind of slide to the edge and slip over, drag myself to my feet. And to discover over and over again that that is occurring in the pathless forest of reality is, that's kind of amazing. Even having trouble getting up in the morning is this light, is this place in the forest where this breeze is always blowing. And there's no particular path. Because it's all path. It's really, it's an extraordinary discovery, and I know I'm talking to the choir here, it's okay. Another of our ancestors, I'm sure you've all heard of, Master Dongshan Yangjie, who was one of the founders of the family you're in, more or less. They say, you know, your family, those are the people you're stuck with. So it's kind of like Sangha, it's kind of like that. We're all stuck with each other, which is kind of cool in a way. Dongshan was one of the progenitors of the family, and he had a guy who liked to practice with him named Yunju. And after they'd been hanging out together and practicing for a while, Yunju turned up at the monastery one day, and Dongshan saw him and said, "Where have you been?" And Yunju said, "I've been walking in the mountains." And Dongshan said, "Which mountain did you find is appropriate to live on?" Yunju said, "What mountain is not appropriate to live on?" I notice in this exchange that Yunju actually, some of his remarks have this slightly smart-alecky quality, which is like his teacher. His teacher was also a little bit of a smart aleck, so it's not so surprising. So he says, "What mountain is not appropriate to live on?" And Dongshan says, "So, you've commandeered the whole country?" Yunju says, "Nope." Dongshan says, "So, have you found a path?" And Yunju says, "No path." And Dongshan says, "Well, if there's no path, how could you and I ever meet?" And Yunji says, "If there were a path, you and I would never have met. So that's a story from the trackless paths of the Dharma forest. Where, you know, every step we take is mysteriously significant. Is the unfolding of Buddha's Eightfold Way. Once we've, you know, just had that little bit adjusting of our perspective where we no longer really expect everything to hold still anymore. Whether that's people or things or plans or what have you. That being so, that might make us wonder then, well, what is this meditation? Since that's part of this pathless path. Well, we'd like to say that it's not like meditation is excluded. Some people may say, well, wait a minute, I count my breathing and maybe I visualize something or I think about a favorite Zen story. Something. And I always thought that was meditation. And eventually, you know, a delicate breeze may cause us to turn and face into the wind, as they say in Zen, and we realize that we always take our seat in this forest of no paths. This amazing, mysterious, intimidating forest of no path. Where we simply sit down and attend to life unfolding. That this committing body and mind to the Buddha way incorporates and brings to life all the eight facets of the gem as Buddha described it. Perspective, the intention, the speech, and so forth. And then eventually we realize that if there were an actual path that we thought we could discern, map out, and then follow, we might actually never meet. And that where we genuinely meet is a place of no path. So I admit that that may not sound especially traditional, but it is how it looks to me anyway. And that far from finding that discouraging, I find it invigorating. It may seem odd that we would even consider entering a forest without a lot of stuff in a backpack. But in fact, the Buddha's invitation is to, leave all that stuff behind. You won't need anything. And besides, there'll be lots of other campers with you. So I appreciate having all you campers to go no place with. Enough. Maybe you have some questions or comments. Yes.
Thank you so much for describing the Eightfold Path that way. I never thought of it as a circle. And I was just reflecting, you were saying maybe it sounds discouraging to not think of it as a straight line. I'm finding that as that unique wind of reality blows through, the straight line path is very discouraging. And the idea of it being a circle starts to become, actually starts to feel a little more soothing, because that straight line just, it fails to be that way.
Mm.
It fails to be a progression. Thank you for describing it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. At the end of the head monk ceremony, we say stuff like, if my words have misled you, please rinse your ears in the pure sound of the Pacific Ocean. So just bear that in mind too. Self-clinging, without a doubt.
And how are we going to reduce that?
It's a moment after moment thing.
Mm-hmm.
of noticing self-clinging, and then, you know, simply exhaling. Mm-hmm. And then if there's another breath coming in, oh good, okay. At some point there won't be. So it's not like, oh, I figured out how to deal with self-clinging. You know, it's like moment after moment. Now what? Yeah. You know, there's that old saying that Buddha's turned the Dharma wheel in the midst of fierce fire. I think that's right. The fire is so bright that the light is so bright that we actually can't make anything out so well, which makes it harder to grab onto something. So in a way, the fiercer the fire, the better. And it's usually kind of fierce once we look at it, once we realize that that's where we always take our seat. Buddha say, don't worry. Doubt and confusion are likewise flames. And I find that if I don't worry, then their power to distract is minimal. Minimal to non-existent. For what it's worth, as they say. Yes?
In this pathless world, what does the term mastery evoke for you?
No baggage at all. No baggage. Nothing in the backpack. So in other words, mastery is Buddhas and sentient beings aren't two things. I would say that's mastery.
So I was thinking of the Ring of Fire, and I was thinking about it over there. Until we, just when Patrick said something, and then thinking of it as engulfed and then I also was thinking, and I'll get back to that, of someone once said, you know, you'd be very lucky to meet an impossible situation. And sometimes I think of that as darkness, or blackness, or, you know, there's just nothing to do.
Yeah.
And then the fire, being engulfed in fire, could maybe be impossible, but you got to move because it's so hot. That's just what I was thinking.
Well, the fire is consuming everything. All the situations from delightful to impossible. And I think that's what Buddha means by having a good perspective on our practice. Otherwise, we may be always looking for a way out of such and such a situation, which of course does not mean that we can't take care of stuff as best as we're able. Well, we should take care of stuff. And if in that process things get better, well, good. And if they don't, that's also okay. So that way, the fire is always where we are. Always where we go. I mean, again, I think that's kind of good news myself. Well, it's kind of hot in here. I don't know what you guys think, but... anyway, I'm very pleased to have been able to practice with you guys today. So please take care of yourself.
Beings are numbered.